D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vinken here with you. Before we get to our Predators conversation, Matthew in Nashville texted in about our J.C. Latham conversation. You better pray the Titans don't go after Dan Moore Jr. from the Steelers, who is a free agent left tackle. He turns 27 when the season starts. He makes Andre Dillard look like Bruce Matthews.
Oh, boy.
All right, keep that name in mind. Boy. Dan Moore Jr. from the Steelers. That doesn't sound good. But also,
it does happen, though.
It does.
More than you want to admit, regardless of whether you're a Titans fan or any other NFL team. When you watch your team every week and a guy's not having a great year, you say, but this guy can't play in the game. This guy's terrible. We got to get rid of this guy. And then the next thing you know, oh, he goes to another team and he's a starter for like 3 years and it works. Like the guy.
That didn't work for Dillard. Here's
a guy that jumped out to me this year that I hadn't even thought of in a couple years. Kendall Vildor. Remember the big game between the Vikings and the Lions on the last weekend of the regular season? Big seeding on the line, right?
It's basically number one seed in the NFC was on the line.
It's close to a playoff game without being a playoff game because it's for a bye. Kendall Vildor had a great game.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Sam Darnold didn't have a great game. But the Lions got usage out of a guy named Kendall Vildor. Kendall Vildor was on the Titans.
He was.
I have no recollection of this.
We were joking about his name because he sounds like a character from, you know, Gandalf the Wizard, you know, or, you know, Harry Potter.
Vildor.
And he lasted about 3 weeks here, but he's found a spot. Like, sometimes you find
a change of scenery sometimes.
You know there's
going
to be
a
turnover with players like that. You have to be good at finding spare parts that you can. And you never know who's going to turn into something useful.
Sometimes the grass is greener on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Here's something that also sounds bad. Mm-hmm. The Nashville Predators lost again. They lost last night to the Florida Panthers 4-1. The Predators have lost 8 of 10. Things continue to get worse for the Predators. And Barry Trotz joined Jared Stillman yesterday at Barrel House, as he does on Tuesdays at 5 during the hockey season. And some interesting comments from Barry Trotz that I want to play and discuss. So the first is Barry Trotz mentioned that he had meetings with the top players on the team after the team returned from its break for the Four Nations faceoff and told them, here's my plan for the next couple of years. Are you in? If you are, great. If not, let me know and I'll try to move you. I thought that was interesting. Here's Barry Trotz describing his plan as he described it to Jared.
How do you shake things up as far as the roster is concerned? Would you go to one of your guys if you felt like there was an opportunity and ask them to waive a no movement clause? How do you feel about that?
100%. 100%. I owe that to the team. I owe that to our staff. I owe it to the ownership, and I owe it to our fans. So if there is something that someone said, hey, you know, would you think about this? Or if I proposed something, if it made some sense, I would have no problem going to the player and say, listen, it's not working. You know, would you consider this?
So one thing whenever we discuss certain trades, and by the way, the NHL trade deadline is a week from Friday, March 7th. So 9 days before the NHL trade deadline. We talk about, well, this player has a no movement clause. He can't be traded. Well, players who have no movement clauses do waive no movement clauses. If they do not want to be in a bad situation, they can approach the general manager and say, hey, get me out of here. I will waive my no movement clause and help me find a new situation. Barry Trotz did say during that interview with Jared that when he talked to these top players, it sounded like there was buy-in from these top players. They're embarrassed by how this season has gone. They want to be a part of the solution. But I did think those comments about Barry Trotz saying, hey, I will absolutely go to a player with trade protection if I need to see if they want out or if we can make something work. I you know, considering where we are in the NHL calendar, that stood out to me yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think that's huge news, honestly, that you in theory would go to somebody. the real question would be, when's the right time to do it, or have you already done it? When, because I don't know, I don't think he's going to do it. Doesn't seem to me, Adam, you tell me if you disagree, that he will do that this year at the trade deadline. So it's really a hypothetical for down the road. To me, the question is, how serious are you getting with some of these conversations about somebody like Ryan O'Reilly? What kind of calls are you getting? And I don't expect him to talk about that on the air, as open as Barry is, open book Barry, right? And Jared will ask, as we know. But that, to me, would be important. And are some of these names that are popping up that are centers, right? Barry Trotz has made no secret that he wants a center. He needs an upgrade at center. When you watch this team play last night, that jumps out at you. You had the highest of the high bar come in the Panthers. They are a championship team that plays a great team game. They ate up the Predators last night. Nashville had to fight to stay in the game and stay competitive, which they did. I thought they played hard after a bit of a slow start. And they were in the game. But the Panthers just didn't let them breathe. They didn't generate any offense, and the Panthers got a ton of offense. A Casey Mittelstadt, who has been thrown out there. You mentioned Dylan Cousins last week, and we had that discussion. Are you really barking up that tree and looking to do something big to try to shake it up for somebody like that? To me, those are key questions in the days leading up to the trade deadline. Because we can talk about trading a spare part here or a spare part there, but is there going to be something big? Like, moving O'Reilly would be big, and what are you getting? Making a move for Mittelstadt or Dylan Cousins or somebody like that, a younger center with some term, that would be big. Because right now you have a glaring problem. The other thing that happened last night, Roman Josi going out on a dirty hit that knocked him out of the game. I haven't heard anything around the league that there's going to be discipline.
I have not seen anything.
And if it's not happened by now, it's probably not going
to
happen.
But here was Andrew Burnett's quote on Roman Josi's status, according to our very own Nick Kieser. He's still being evaluated, Roman Josi is. Quote, yeah, I don't know. I'm not the doctor. I don't really know with those things. It's a day-to-day. It's day-to-day, could be week-to-week, could be season-ending. We don't really know yet.
But that tells you what it is, right?
Yes.
Based on what you saw with the hit, based on those words, we can all but conclude exactly what that is. And I would think at this point, you are going to be very cautious with how you handle Roman Josi. He could be done for a good while. Mm-hmm. That was a dirty hit. So where does that leave you? You already have, we went backwards and forwards on this yesterday, the environment in front of UC Soros defensively is one of the toughest environments already with Roman Josi. Now take him out of the equation for a while. Last night they gave up some glaring. Last night was a perfect example of everything we talked about yesterday with Kevin Woodley. UC Soros played a good game. They hung him out to dry. They gave up over 4 expected goals, 4.35. They gave up 11 grade A scoring chances. 3 of the 4 goals were goals that were really, really tough to defend. And I'm not sure he could have done anything about any of the 3. Then he had another one go off his own guy. They're going to have a big struggle defending. They need to find some bodies, I think, going forward that they experiment with defensively. That's another big area for Barry Trotz to pursue, center and defense.
Yeah, they got to find some way to improve their defense. And all the while, their offense needs to pick up as well. Now, in regards to going back to Barry's statement or his response to Jared, this is sticky for me. This is, even though Barry has always, he said it at the beginning, listen, I am always going to do what's best for the organization. I owe that to them. But I think in a situation like this, you have to approach it with kid gloves. I'm talking about infant gloves. Because the minute you go to that guy, you're signaling, you're signaling to
signaling.
Him. Yeah, signaling.
There you go.
Blah, 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 to him.
Words are hard. I get it.
Yeah. That, you know what? You may not fit this team anymore. And are you agreeing to waive your no trade clause? Because I'm going to ask both of y'all. Okay, if I agree, if I'm Stamkos on one of these guys and I agree, or Brady Shea, more importantly, Brady Shea, if I agree to waive my no trade clause, does that now exclude it ever from being a part of my contract?
So this actually has changed.
Okay, that's what I want to ask.
So if I, Willie, please correct me if I'm wrong here. There was a time when if a player signed a – it happened with P.K. Subban, if I'm not mistaken, when he was traded from Montreal to Nashville. P.K. Subban, I believe, had trade protection in his contract or was about to start before
– It was before his protection kicked in.
There used to be a rule in the NHL, again, if I'm not mistaken, that the acquiring team can decide whether to honor the protection that another team signed. And I remember that David Poyle did not honor that with P.K. Subban. So that clause did not travel with him to Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Can you negotiate that on the front end and say if this player is traded, it has to kick in? I don't know how that works. Does it depend on the individual contract or is that just a straight, hard, fast rule?
I think at this point, if you had trade protection in your contract, you maintain trade protection in your contract. And again, if I'm not mistaken, to answer your question, Derek, if a player waives it, it's not like it's a one-time thing.
It's been complete. It's gone now.
Right. So if he gets traded to another team, he has a no-trade clause. It's not like you only can use this once in 7 years. So I think that has changed over time.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, the only way I am waiving it, and even under those circumstances, I'm still thinking about, nah, this is not advantageous for me. The only way I don't is that if I know the team that I am potentially going to is a playoff team or a team that I can fit in right away. The offense is what I like and everything else. If that is indeed the case, or I just hate the organization and hate the team and hate the head coach, that's the only way I'm moving off of a no trade clause being removed from my contract. Because you fought for that for a reason. I'm just not going to easily, just because you feel that, you would be able to get, a little bit more if I traded said person. Well, you may think that way, but that's not what I agree with. So when you're going down that road, you got to be cautious. You got to have went over this a million times amongst yourself and whoever else in front office. Like, listen, if we do this, this is what the fallout can be. Because I can just say, you know what? I don't want to get traded. Y'all don't want me here. I'm just going to play it out. I'm not going to cause a fuss. I'm just going to play it out.
So in 2020, the CBA was amended to provide that no trade and no movement clauses shall always travel with the player in the event of an assignment by trade or waivers. So when P.K. Subban was traded here, that was not the rule. So it was the Predators' decision.
Oh, so if that's the case, then yeah, just send me to a team that's winning.
I think the no trade thing tends to work itself out. It's negotiated. The player has some leverage, but the player then can down the road utilize that leverage or not. He can.
But what I'm
exercise.
Saying is, don't send me to a crap like a bad
right,
team.
Right, that's where he has the leverage to say no, I'm not going there. So. I thought there were some other things in the interview that, that caught my attention a little bit more. And one of them was going to the players that are the quote, your best players have to be your best players, which has been a big, big problem for this Nashville team, is the ones that they've invested in to a person have had below average years for them. And that's being kind, right? They haven't had career years. They've just had very poor years collectively. Mm-hmm. And Barry Trotz wants to know, are they in for the long haul? He went to those guys and said, are you guys in with this plan? Here's my plan. You guys in? If you're not, let me know, and I'll try to move you. Mm-hmm. That was, to me, that was interesting news. That was an interesting piece of strategy that Barry Trotz was willing to share.
Yes. Scott is in Hendersonville on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Scott, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Yes. Willie, I wanted to get your thoughts on how they could give up some of the stuff they gave up last night. That first goal in particular, where you had four guys out, it seemingly outside the red dot. Nobody anywhere near the crease, and you got, you know, leave a 2-on-0 in the crease on a power play. You know, UC was totally hung out to dry. And, you know, coming off the break, they said, well, we're going to reevaluate what we're doing. We're going to, you know, give up some offense to, you know, tamp down on defense. And they looked really good against Colorado. I was at that game. Part of it, honestly, I think McKinnon looked totally out of gas as well. But they did look good against Colorado. But ever since then, they have looked like total garbage. I mean, it is horrific, the Team D they're playing. And it's making me question Bruno and whether we should keep, you know, get rid of him now, because I don't understand how it can be that bad. It's like peewee hockey bad, some of the stuff they're doing out there. What are your thoughts on that?
Thanks for the call, Scott. And actually, you bring up Andrew Burnett. I do want to play another clip from the interview with Jared yesterday. This is Barry Trotz discussing the immediate future for Andrew Burnett.
Because I'm looking for kind of a big change that might kind of shift the equilibrium around here. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if you can't do it on a roster front, then wouldn't the next logical step be the coach?
I think everybody looks at it that way. I look at it probably a little differently. The response that we get from now to the end of the year, and then obviously we're going to have meetings with the players, we're going to get I'm going to have a really good feel with direction. I mean, I'm with you. I think Andrew's a hell of a good coach. But at the same time, there has to be the roster and the coach have to, you know, have that be in sync in all aspects. So I'm running this to the end. We'll assess and we'll make our decisions.
That was Barry Trotz yesterday. So for those of you who are wondering if Andrew Burnett could be replaced before the end of the season, it certainly does not sound like that. And Barry Trotz has said that on other occasions with Jared. But it's sort of what we talked about yesterday, guys. These final 25 games are incredibly important for Andrew Burnett.
Yeah, I think that speaks for itself. That was an interesting comment. And it hasn't given you a better feeling right now. But let's address the caller's question. All right. Last season's defense core, because we can talk about the system and everything, but let's talk about the players playing defense. And we know, too, in a bigger discussion, the forwards' defensive ability factors in here. But if you're just looking at defensemen, last year, Yossi McDonagh, Lauzon Carrier, Shen Stastny, and Fabro. That's your 7D that played most of the games, pretty much stayed healthy, and gave you very good, in my opinion, very good defense, especially compared to this year, right? Now let's, what they thought they had at the beginning of the season this year, Stastny, they found out late in the summer he's not coming. He's not coming to training camp. That was the first problem. So he's not there at training camp. So that left them with Yossi, Brady Shea, Carrier, Lauzon, Shen, Fabro, with a Mark Delgazzo, with an Adam Willsby on the outside. So they thought they were okay there. So what has happened since then? Yossi and Shea, not a good mix. Had to split them up. Lauzon, injured. Carrier, injured. Then traded. Fabro, waived when they were up against the salary cap. That has turned out to be one that has really burned them. What did they get for Carrier? They got Justin Barron. That has been a net minus right now. So that leaves you, now that Yossi is hurt, here are your six defensemen. Brady Shea, who hasn't had a good year. Justin Barron, who has been nowhere near at this point. He's younger, but he's nowhere near the defenseman that Alex Carrier is. Nick Blankenberg, overachiever, asked to do way, way too much for his ability. He was on the ice for a couple of those goals that the caller was referring to last night. Ugly, ugly defensive breakdowns. Jake Livingstone, who hasn't played in the NHL in a couple of years, he's the next man up. He will be the 14th defenseman, 14th to appear in at least one game. Andreas Englund, picked up off the waiver wire. who has not played. He's only played 11 NHL games coming into tonight to joining the Predators, and Luke Shen, who is again having to play in a much bigger role than he should be having to play at this stage of his career. So you've gone from a defense corps that at the end of last year was a very good one to this year piecing together and duct taping something. And some of it's their own fault, right? Because of the trade of Carrier and the wave of Fabbro, they've gone to basically an AHL defense corps. That is not going to make it easy. No, I don't care what system you play, you can't mask the drop-off in talent there.
Yes, the Predators have made a minor trade with the Tampa Bay Lightning. They've traded Anthony Angelo, who's been with Milwaukee this season. I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly.
Anthony.
For Jesse Ylönen.
Ylönen. Yeah.
Okay, I was way off.
It's a minor league deal.
It's a minor league deal.
They're trying to position Milwaukee as best they can because they've had to dip down in Milwaukee
get
a
players,
lot.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with the big club between now and next Friday at the NHL trade deadline. 615-737-1025. We will bring Chris Mason, Predators TV analyst, into the conversation next. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game. D-Mace Vingan and Darnick, 1025-1063, The Game. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Predators television analyst Chris Mason. Chris, we were just playing some clips from Barry Trotz's interview with Jared Stillman yesterday. Some interesting things from Barry Trotz. I'm sure you've had an opportunity to listen to the interview. Did anything stand out to you in particular?
Well, I heard some bullet points of it. And he's been very honest in this situation. And I think, you know, the writing's been on the wall here for quite some time. And I think, you know, some of the takeaways, you know, that I look at is, you know, some of the evaluation process of, you know, the games being played now. It's obviously, you know, meaningless in a standings point. And I know a lot of the, you know, the fan base, and when you look at the big picture, it might be more of a benefit to finish.
Did we lose Chris?
Mace, come in. Come in, Mace. That sounds like something out of a movie.
Mace just hit a tunnel or something.
We've lost communication. We've lost communication.
Somebody get that communication back up now! Now!
Need backup.
Chris, do we have you?
I don't think we do.
Well, we'll endeavor to get Chris back on the line. But let's pick up on the conversation.
Okay.
That was
abrupt.
Yeah, it sounded like a scene out of Top Gun there for a minute.
It's like somebody rolled the window down.
So let's talk Andrew Burnett a little bit more. We have one texter on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Actually, this is more about Barry Trotz, I think, than Andrew Burnett, if I can find the text. Joey from Bellevue. Isn't it the GM's responsibility for the unexpected defensive issues? Why let Fabbro go and trade Carrier if the guys he's going to call on to replace them are what Jared would call scarbinis? Seems like getting rid of them was a desperation move to free up some cap space since he can't get rid of the bigger, longer-term deals.
I do think it's fair to say, and I think Barry Trotz would have to look himself in the mirror and say that was a calculated risk to create cap space, get younger, and it has backfired. To this point, I don't think you could even argue that. The question is, even down the road, is that a sunk cost? Like, I think the time they waived Fabbro, I think they really believed that Mark Delgazzo had passed him, who is, you're saying, okay, we're at least getting equal value, and he's a lot cheaper. We're not going to sign Fabbro next year, so let's let Delgazzo play. Delgazzo faltered. He's in the minors. Now, Justin Barron, we've seen some serious growing pains. Some of the issues he had in Montreal have not gotten better here. And they parted ways with Carrier, who was signed to a reasonable cost, but not something that was going to totally break the bank.
We have Chris Mason back on the line. Chris, we hope you're okay. We don't know what happened there.
Well, I'm actually getting my truck washed, and they turned my truck on, so it went into the phone, so I couldn't hear you guys. So I was like, hello? I was like, I got 5 bars. What's going on here? But sorry about that.
It sounded like you were on an F-16 that we lost communication straight out of a movie. So we're talking about the defensive issue, so let's pick up there. The defensive core this season has been – it's been a who's who, I guess you could say, more so by the fact that you're like, who's that? Who's that? Now with the news that Roman Josi's status is uncertain, what should we expect from this defense corps moving forward?
Well, I mean, it's tough to really have any sort of expectation, because even with Roman Josi in the lineup, you know, it hasn't been a strong defensive effort this year, no matter, you know, who's been in or who's out. It's been a tough go. And, you know, we talk about the defensemen, but you have to, you know, lump everybody in to that. Everybody, you know, the forwards are obviously responsible for some of the defensive ineptitude and deficiencies that the team's had this year. But it's tough. If you look at the D-core last year, the D-core that the team started with this season, you expected that to be one of the strong suits of this hockey team, along with, you know, adding the offense that we did as well in the offseason. And it was really completely the opposite. And that's been probably one of the most disappointing factors, I think. You know, the offense dried up, and it's been, you know, pretty abysmal all season long. But, you know, you can still compete if you play well defensively as a team in this league and find ways to win if you're taking care of that part of your game. And it never really seemed at any point this season that was really in order, aside from an effort here or there. So that's probably been one of the biggest disappointments. And then in turn, you know, we've had all the UC Saros talk, and in my opinions, got blown, you know, completely out of proportion, because that's just the easy target. The goalie's letting in the goals and you're not winning hockey games. But, you know, it's a large part of that is everything that's happening or not happening in front of them. And he's definitely a product of that. And you know, by no stretch am I saying that he's had the best season of his career, because it's been up and down by his standard that he's set. But I think, you know, it's clear that the Predators were, you know, a terrible defensive team this year. And it didn't help. If you're going to be bad defensively, well, you better score goals. And they weren't able to do that either, near the bottom of the league. So it's just been, you know, it just continues to be a season that you just, you know, you just shrug your shoulders and scratch your head, because, you know, you look at the roster, you know, to start the season, there's no reason why they shouldn't have been good in one category or the other, or both for that matter. And it was, you know, pretty much neither of them all season long, aside from a stretch when they're before the break there, when they're scoring a lot of goals. But, you know, I don't think you can really have any realistic expectations of, you know, going down the stretch, other than giving guys opportunities, seeing if a guy like Barron, who looks to struggle defensively in his game, can maybe, you know, get a chance to kind of play through some of those issues and learn on the fly. You know, you might get some looks at some other guys in the system. Livingstone might get another look, or they could call somebody else up as well. But it's, I think that's kind of the direction you have to see what you have and maybe, you know, can acquire somebody in one of the moves, either off waivers or at the trade deadline.
Now, Steve Mace, you can give some insight on this, because you played the position. What do you think is going through UC Saros' mind right now? Because, listen, he knows he's not playing his best hockey, but he also see that they have deficiencies in front of him. And I'm sure he's hearing, UC's not doing this. UC just got this big contract. So I have to believe there is some type of stress that is going on with him, because all of this is coming at sort of the worst time, when you sign a big deal and then all of a sudden the very next season or the very same season, you're not just you, but the organization, the team as a whole, isn't playing well. Period. And not just your play, but the guys in front of you are not playing well. So what is going through a goalie's mind when all of this is transpiring?
Well, I think last game against the Panthers was, you know, kind of sums up, I think, how he's been feeling. And you could see a lot of the players too. You look at the body language and, you know, the response after goals. I mean, what are you going to do on any of those goals? It was breakdowns, 2-on-0, 2-on-0, goes off your own guy in the net. And it's just, it's unbelievable. Another one, the guy's left all alone. And this is after making 5, 6, 7, you know, great saves. And look at the body of work Spencer Knight played. You know, he played a fine game, but really wasn't challenged too much. Didn't have any breakaways, didn't have those types of opportunities. So you can go out there and play a good game, letting 4 goals, and, you know, you got another one in the loss column. And it's just utter frustration. It's almost the, like everyone else, it's, oh, here we go again. You know, you're putting in a game, you're in it, Oh, 2-on-0,
you know, you just saved a breakaway and a, you know, a redirect, a guy wide open in front, and then the next play is a 2-on-0 or it goes off of your own guy. I think it's just been one of those seasons where you just can't believe that it keeps happening. And I feel like that calling the games. They're playing hard. They're in it. There's stretches where you think, okay, here, you know, Colorado, they come back, play a great game. New Jersey, they start, and all of a sudden, you know, they give up a goal in the second period, and it's downhill from there. And then, you know, Florida, you're playing the Stanley Cup champions. There's no margin for error. But the goals that they gave up, they gave them. They gave them off of turnovers, bad coverage plays. You know, Florida is going to create enough of their offense on their own, but the goals that they gave up was because of the chances that the Predators gave them. So that's disappointing, and I think it's just been a season of just, you know, just enormous frustration for Saros.
Mace, one thing that Adam and I were kicking around for a segment that we're going to do tonight on Predators Insiders was Casey Mittelstadt. This is just the latest name of an intriguing guy. We know that Barry Trotz has been public about his desire to upgrade the center position. Last night was a good example of a guy like Fedor Svechkov not quite being ready to play against the best team or one of the best teams in the NHL. And they just turned the car wash back on, I guess, for C-Mace. You still there with us, Mace?
Did we lose Chris again?
Sounds like they turned on the hose of the car wash and everything like that. I feel like we should play Car Wash by Rolls Royce.
You know, why don't we do that?
Oh, he's back.
There he is.
Back.
All right.
So Mittelstadt, right? We know Svechkov's not ready to play up in the lineup yet. He might need to go back down to Milwaukee, regain confidence, et cetera. So Mittelstadt, we know the issues with Novak. Stamkos, we know the issues of the pluses and minuses of him at center. What do you think of a Mittelstadt? If you're looking at Barry Trotz and Mittelstadt, who's 26, playing in Colorado, if Colorado is looking to shake it up?
Well, I think he's a guy. I mean, he doesn't fly off the charts with a whole lot of flash or, you know, superstar prowess. But I think with him, you know what you're going to get.
Did we lose Chris again? We may have to call it on Chris. Unfortunately, Chris Mason, Predators television analyst. Whatever he's saying right now is probably really good.
Mm-hmm.
But
definitely,
you can listen to Chris Mason with Willie Donick again tomorrow night on FanDuel Sports Network when the Predators take on the Winnipeg Jets. Also, as Willie mentioned, he and I are co-hosting Predators Insiders, which you can hear right after Smashville Live tonight, 7 o'clock, right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We'll wrap up the show.
We will get into the Mittelstadt thing tonight.
Yes, so we will. We will get into that.
Yeah.
In depth. We will wrap up the show next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vinge, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen. Sorry we had to cut Chris Mason short there. Chris, if you're listening, turn off your Bluetooth next time. I think that's what was going on.
You think so?
You know how sometimes when...
Maybe the car wash was just really, really good, though. And now his vehicle is pristine.
So clean, he cut off his phone.
But I got some flashbacks today. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow, but the NFLPA released its report cards.
Yes. The dirt.
Right. So it reminded me of, I'm not proud to say this, but I'm honest with you guys, and I'm in a good mood because I ate all of my Skittles. When I was
feeling a little rushed right now, feeling
he
happy?
Has to be.
Yeah.
He has to be. Yes.
I have to take my son to gymnastics after this, so yeah. I need to show
you. Oh, you're
going to
be crashing. You're going to be on the pommel horse, just crashed.
Nobody said I was doing gymnastics. I just have to sit there.
He's going to have a meltdown instead of his kid.
Yeah, that's right. That's what's going to happen.
My son's going to be peering through the glass, and he's just going to be like, who's that grown-up freaking out over there? It's
me.
My
dad.
Oh, that's dad. He's okay.
Like father, yeah. Like son. Either way. When I was a freshman in college, I failed a class. I failed a class my freshman
you?
Year in college.
Ooh.
Yes, I did.
Did you forget you had the class?
No, I just wasn't good at it.
Okay, so you took the flag.
So you're one of us, Adam.
I never pretended to be a know-it-all. Y'all just think I am because I wear these big-ass glasses. But my university sent home basically a demerit, a report card, letting my parents know that I failed the class. I made sure to intercept that mailing, and I hit it. Let me tell you where I hit it. I had back in the day, I had a boombox. Remember boomboxes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I had a boombox with like
we just played.
Yes.
You know, in your eyes, that's the boombox.
I had a boombox with like a 12 CD changer. I hid it inside the 12 CD
wow.
changer.
You had brilliant. A boombox with 12 CDs in there?
Give me some. That's brilliant.
I mean, he is a Duke fan, so it's probably a
big boombox. Oh.
Your parents are never going in there.
They're not going in there.
They're not touching that. Yeah.
They good eventually job. Found out. I don't know how they found out, but it wasn't by going through the boombox. I said, they're never going to look in here.
How did you get one with 12 CDs? That's even better cover. If there's only one CD, then maybe they hit the button by accident.
Well, it was 2000. It would have been 2008, the summer after my freshman year in college. So back in the day, you could get 12 CD changers.
I had one. Mine was more than 12.
But you
at
said
home.
It's a boombox. It's not like a stereo system. It's like a,
well, it was
a
stereo.
Yes,
he
said boombox stereo.
Whatever.
System.
A boombox what is portable, mentioned. Right? That's how my definition. Now here we go with the lemon lime. Is it green? Is it yellow? Yeah. Let's not even.
I know what
right.
he was talking about.
Point
Will,
is,
but you are right.
Okay.
You are right.
Yeah.
I used my ingenuity to
yes,
hide
you did.
The fact that they failed the
you
class.
You intercepted and then
hid.
What would you say? You embezzled, or what would be the you buried the evidence?
Maybe.
They never found out.
Well, they found out eventually because I think they had to look at my transcript at some point. Mm-hmm. But, like, I hid it for, like, 2 years. It
ooh,
wasn't until, like, my junior year that they found that I failed a class my freshman year in college.
And by that time, you were on your road to,
yes,
to graduation.
To where I am right now.
Yes, there we go.
So I turned out okay. So if you fail the class, you may also turn out okay.
Probably not.
Probably not. You know who got a big fat F? Woody Johnson. Owner of the New York Jets.
Oh, man,
he was the only team. He was the only owner in the league to receive an F. The New York Jets received an F for ownership. And by the way, this is from the players. The players fill this out. So Woody Johnson and the Jets received an F for ownership, the only team in the league to do so. Overall, the Jets fell from 21st overall in 2023 to 29th this past season. According to ESPN, regarding Johnson, the NFLPA said the players, quote, cite perceived top leadership issues, with some describing issues as top-down problems. It notes how the Jets' ownership grade dropped from B- to F, with Johnson receiving the lowest score for contributing to a positive team culture. Quote, rather than addressing concerns, players believe that management responded to feedback by making conditions worse.
Okay, what?
Making conditions worse.
Yeah.
So that's right out of Major League.
Yeah. Oh, y'all don't like this? All right. I'm going to show y'all. I'm going to show y'all and make it worse.
Say
listen,
less.
I would say, because I did have a half a cup of coffee there. No cream, just black coffee. The facilities are top notch. The facilities are awesome. You go to the Jet facilities, at least when I was there.
Is that Florham Park, New Jersey?
Yes, Florham Park, yes. It was really nice. I mean, top of the line. Now, in regards to this other stuff, I mean, maybe that is the case. It started back then, the dysfunction within the organization, and it sort of permeated for the next, what was that, 2010 when I was there? So you're talking about another 14 years. It just grabbed hold of everything within the organization, which has led them to getting an F right now. So you just don't get Fs, like, from one semester. Like, if you got a B the first semester and got a D the second semester, it don't turn out to be an F. That F was, like, long-standing. Like, you're working toward that F.
One of the things it mentions in the story about making conditions worse. After receiving low grades for their food program last year, players felt the team cut the food budget and did not retain their longtime dietitian, who was previously their highest-rated staff member.
Ooh.
So you don't like our food? We're going to make it worse.
And we're going to get rid of the person that was making it good. Who does that sound like? But anyway, let's move on.
So
I like doing that.
I'm a kindred spirit with Woody Johnson. We've both failed at something.
Uh-huh.
We've both been given big fat Fs.
Yeah, I mean,
ouch.
Listen, and we will get into the Titans
yes.
stuff tomorrow.
Yes, we will.
This week.
But let's leave the question on the table as for people to ponder until we get into the grades.
We reconvene tomorrow.
What is an appropriate standard, and how much are players guilty maybe of coming from a program like Oregon or a high-grade
Ohio State Michigan,
who pours tons
Big
of money in facilities,
SEC.
And it's an arms race with the recruiting process. Oh, let me coddle you here. Hey, we've got a We've got a video game system here for you in your locker. Oh, we've got masseuses over here. We got jacuzzis over here.
We got a shoe shining machine right here.
How much do you really need, and what's extravagant where a player gets coddled and then gets to the NFL is like, oh, this isn't nice enough, man. We had nicer stuff. We had nicer stuff in Oregon, man.
That is the question.
That's the question.
Majority of y'all, and I'm only talking about the ones that came from Big Ten or SEC schools, y'all never struggled. Because SEC schools and Big Ten schools, they are top-notch. They are. Facilities-wise, they are. Now, if you've come from another division, lower division, HBCU, Division II, III, then okay. I can understand. But those that are probably complaining come from big schools. And it's like, dude, what are y'all complaining? If it's, I understand one part of it. Some of this stuff is just like, is it really that bad, or are y'all just coddled that much?
We'll attempt to answer that question tomorrow. Stillman and Company coming up next.
Be love on your people. Have a blessed, wonderful, safe, sunny Wednesday. Peace.